biggest issues in the recall race for governor is job creation, with Governor Scott Walker and Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett trading jabs over each other's record in campaign ads.
250,000 new jobs.
And Scott Walker delivered nothing.
More than 17,000 new jobs we've added in the first 2 months of this year alone.
Last year, Wisconsin lost more jobs than any state in the country.
Milwaukee's unemployment rate has gone up 29% under Barrett.
We're going to talk about the causes of job losses and job creation and the political blame game this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, May 15th. Our guest predicted large job losses with Governor Walker's budget last year, and he will explain how he came to that conclusion. And we will also talk with him about some of the other debates over employment and jobs on the recall campaign trail, including the recent news that the Walker administration is going to be releasing revised job totals that paint a little rosier picture. Our guest is Steve Deller. He is an economist with the University of Wisconsin Extension. He is a professor of agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison. And he joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning. What a beautiful day, isn't it?
It is a beautiful day. I love it. Is it a beautiful day for jobs in Wisconsin, though? Let's talk a little bit first. You were in the news quite a bit in recent weeks, because when this report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics came out showing Wisconsin with the worst record for job losses in the country, the numbers were very similar to a report you put together a year ago. How did you manage that?
I'd like to claim that it was just brilliance on my part, yeah. But it's one of the things economists don't like to go back and look at their forecast, because it's not really they're wrong. Things happen. The price of gasoline goes up by 50 cents and it throws everything off. But I think what I did essentially was to say, you know, what if we put into place the austerity measures of the governor's budget, and we look at essentially removing about $3 billion from the state's economy, and essentially said, what would be the ramifications of that? And came up with about 22,000 jobs that would cost the state. And because of the lackluster growth of the state's economy, essentially that prediction came true.
Yeah. Well, now the Walker administration says it will release different job numbers. Explain what we're going to see in a day or so.
Well, that's a very good question. I'm not really sure exactly what the Walker administration is saying when they're saying that they're going to revise their numbers. Generally, the way that this works is that there's two sets of surveys that the state undertakes, and they've been doing it for a number of years now. And the one is a survey of businesses, where that's where they get essentially the employment numbers. And those are the numbers that are reported to the Bureau of Labor Statistics in Washington. They then collected, add some of their own information, and come out with revisions, which will be the final jobs numbers. The second source is a survey of households, and that's where they get the unemployment numbers. They essentially call households and say, are you working? And if you're not working, are you looking for work? Well, historically, those two numbers tend to match each other. If businesses are saying that they're hiring people, households usually show that they're taking jobs. For the last 9 months or so, those numbers have actually moved in opposite directions, and it's been causing a fair amount of confusion in terms of what's going on. How can households be saying that they're actually taking, that they have more jobs, but the businesses are saying that they're actually having less jobs?
Yeah, well, how could that be?
Well, a couple of ideas. One is that we have a large number of our state's population lives along the state borders, particularly down in the southeastern part of the state. And one idea is that our neighboring states are generating jobs, and some Wisconsin residents are essentially commuting out of state to take work. You know, the number of folks, it's almost 30% of the folks that live in Kenosha County commute into the Chicago metropolitan area. Rock County, for example, it's 7% commutes into Illinois to take employment. So part of it might be that our neighboring states are generating jobs and some Wisconsin households are simply commuting over. The other possibility is that many of the unemployed folks are running out of unemployment insurance. They have to pay the rent. They have to do something. They can't find employment. So they start their own businesses. This is what economists call reactionary entrepreneurs. Essentially, their back is against the wall. They start a business. So technically, they have a job, but they would prefer to be working for somebody else. Those are the two things that might be explaining why these numbers are moving in opposite directions. Now, how the governor is proposing to revise the numbers, I'm not sure, because once the state reports them to BLS, we don't touch them again. It's up to the BLS to revise them.
Yeah, so when Tom Barrett says that he thinks that the Walker administration is going to spin these numbers because the recall is fast approaching. I know you're not here to be a political scientist, but we can spin these numbers?
Oh, of course you can spin anything. I think one of the things, I mean, the election is really hinging on a couple of things. One was Act 10. And the kind of divide and conquer comment, that's one angle. The other is, you know, the governor promised to generate, you know, thousands of jobs in the state. And the state is actually, according to the BLS numbers, is trailing the U.S. Those two things combined is really what's going to kind of drive the election. So the governor has not been able to deliver on his jobs promise. He's got to do something. So I think they're turning to the household survey and saying, well, look at the household survey data. It's showing that there's job growth. Well,
it might be job growth in Illinois, another state that the Governor Walker criticizes for being in bad shape because they did things differently.
Perhaps.
Yeah, interesting. Perhaps. Well, Governor Walker doubled down on his campaign promise to create 250,000 new jobs by 2015, I think was the year. And he did that at the Republican convention again over the weekend. He said he's going to do it. Do you think that's doable?
That's the million-dollar question, and it's very difficult to say right now whether or not he's going to be able to do that, because if you look back 30, 40 years, Wisconsin has historically followed the national economy pretty closely. If the national economy has grown, we're growing. If the national economy is stagnating, we're stagnating. You can go back and look at the early recession or the recession of the early 1980s, and we were hit a little bit harder. You can look at the recession of the early 1990s when Clinton was going around, it's the economy, stupid. And we blew right through that. We didn't feel that at all. So if the national economy picks up and starts generating a lot of jobs, then there's really no reason why Wisconsin shouldn't be following that. If, on the other hand, the austerity measures in Europe fail to work, Europe starts to cave in on itself, there's some indications now that China's starting to slow down a little bit. If those international forces put a drag on the U.S. economy and we stall, the cards are stacked against us.
Another issue on the campaign trail is Governor Walker criticizing Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett for the jobs picture in Milwaukee while Tom Barrett was mayor there. Is that fair criticism?
Well, it's two things. One is that if you look at the city of Milwaukee and the county of Milwaukee, it has not been there's not been a tremendous amount of job growth there over 30 years. There really hasn't been a whole lot of job growth there. Almost all of the job growth has been occurring out in the suburban ring. But that's true for a lot of large cities and metro areas. A lot of the job growth is out in the suburban fringe. Now, is Milwaukee a drag on the region? I wouldn't call it a drag. It's not an engine of economic growth. It's not like, say, a Chicago or a Minneapolis-St. Paul, which is our engines of economic growth. But is it a drag? I'm not sure that that's a fair statement. I'm surprised that the governor is taking this tact, because he was the county executive of Milwaukee County for 8 years. So if the city is being dragged down, then how much of that is Barrett's responsibility? How much of that is Walker's responsibility? I think that they should share blame if there is blame.
Well, is it fair to give blame to a mayor or a governor when jobs numbers aren't stellar? I mean, is it really within their control?
What they do really is, I mean, they create an environment that is conducive to job growth. Sometimes we refer to it as business climate. And there's many elements of business climate. And I think that the tone that our politicians set really has a real influence on how people feel about the economy. And, you know, one of the questions I get asked is, you know, why is Wisconsin not, you know, experiencing the job recovery that the rest of the country is? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it is, well, one, that the austerity budget is working its way through. I think the second is that the business climate in the state is been kind of knocked upside the head a little bit. And it's because of the kind of poisonous political environment. So what politicians can do is that they can do damage. They can do damage by the way in which government is essentially run. Kind of the political rhetoric, the ability to work across the aisle, say, the ability to kind of roll up their sleeves and get things done. Or they're kind of digging their heels and not compromise, and it's my way or the highway. And if the latter is taken, that can actually damage the business climate. Tommy Thompson, for example, he kind of, you know, created a fairly positive business climate. It wasn't necessarily his tax policies or his regulatory policies. He was kind of a let's roll up our sleeves and let's get it done. And that creates a can-do environment within the state. And I think right now the poisonous political environment is really an anchor on us.
We are talking about jobs and employment in Wisconsin during this recall campaign and the various political jabs that Governor Scott Walker and Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett are trading these days. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your thoughts on this. Do you think that we give too much credit or too much blame to elected officials when it comes to job creation? Do you think that Mayor Barrett is to blame for the high unemployment in Milwaukee? Is Milwaukee a drag on the rest of the state when it comes to the economy? What about Governor Walker being at the helm when Wisconsin lost more jobs than any other state in the nation? Is that his fault? And what about what Governor Walker is saying these days, that after the recall election, after June 5th, that job creation will take off, that there will be the uncertainty will be over and we will all be well again? We'll ask our guest about that after this. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 8, it's another edition of On Your Money. Financial planner Kevin McKinley will be in with information and advice on your money after 8 o'clock. We're talking about Wisconsin jobs and the political blame game, employment and job creation, top issues, of course, in the recall race for governor. We are taking a look at the causes of Wisconsin's current job situation and all the finger-pointing that surrounds it. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions for our guest, Steve Deller, an economist with UW Extension and professor of agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison. And before we go to the phones, Professor Deller, what about Governor Walker saying that the jobs picture in Wisconsin, the job losses that have been experienced, are because of political protests and political uncertainty caused by the recall. Is that right?
There is some truth to that. One thing that businesses really don't like is uncertainty. And I think that's one of the reasons that the national economy has been so slow to recover is we came really close to going over the edge of a cliff. And there was a lot of, you know, what's going on? We don't know what's going on. And when that happens, businesses and people just hold back. They wait and see. So I think that, you know, that certain element will be removed. I think that's taking one of the constraints off of the state's economy. Whether or not that is the constraint, time will tell.
Yeah, and the governor says once he's reelected, hiring will take off. Do you think that's true?
I hope he's right, but I think that we still need to work on the political environment in the sense of the ability to essentially say, let's get past this partisan bickering and actually kind of work together to address some of the issues that the state is facing. If the governor comes in and says, you know, I'm willing to compromise, I'm willing to work across the aisle, and let's work together to make this a better state, then I think that will be a very positive thing. If he digs in his heels, and the Republican leadership digs in their heels, then we're kind of back to where we started.
Is there any reason to believe, should Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett win the recall election, that businesses would not hire?
I really don't see any reason.
In terms of their uncertain whether he's going to close tax loopholes or something along those lines?
No, there's a lot of attention paid to taxes and the importance of taxes in the state's economy. I mean, Wisconsin has this reputation of being a high tax state, and you know that was true maybe 20 years ago, but it's not really true anymore. When you look at businesses and you ask them what's important to them, taxes are always at the top of the list. But when you look at what they actually do, taxes don't matter that much. So, you know, coming in and saying, okay, we have to address the budget, we need to do this, we need to raise some taxes here, we need to do some cutting there, more of a balanced approach, you know, businesses may say, you know, that's going to cost us jobs, but in reality, it doesn't.
Let's take some calls. Peter in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Peter.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I guess my comment would be I do agree with your guest that I think it's a combination of both the recall going on, the process of the recall, making it an unstable environment, and also with the presidential election coming up. I believe those two factors are going to create a stagnant economy. Even with people that I talk to, I think that is holding a lot of people back. I don't know if that, I think I'm kind of agreeing with what your guest is saying.
All right, Peter. Well, let's talk a little bit more on I don't know, so goes the nation. I mean, the national economy has a whole lot to do with Wisconsin's economy, too.
It does. I mean, the state can do a number of things to influence the state's economy, but the 800-pound gorilla in the room is what's happening in the national economy. We are part of a larger system, and that system is the national economy. If Europe caves in on itself, we're looking at bad times, regardless of who controls the governor's office or who controls the assembly or the Senate. If the national economy takes a nosedive for whatever reason, we're going to be right there with it.
Catherine in Madison is with us next. Hello, Catherine.
Hi. First, I'd like to thank your guests. It's refreshing to hear kind of a nonpartisan view on the economy and what's going on. But my question is, if there is blame to be associated within all of this, you know, how much can be associated to a previous administration, and not just in our local, but in our national government as well?
Are we talking about who kind of got us into the national economic mess?
Well, that and, you know, job loss and you know, the state of our economy. I know that's a much bigger issue, but, you know, when we have a new administration, it seems, we blame the previous administration a lot for the mess they're into. Is that really, I mean, is that really happen, or how much can be attributed to that?
Well, I think if you look historically, a lot of the job loss at the national level, kind of the free fall, occurred under the previous administration. I mean, that's just a historical fact. Whether or not you say that all the problems that we're experiencing now is because of the previous administration is, I mean, you might be able to say that a year after, but we're 3 years out now, and it's time to kind of say, okay, well, we should be over this now. We should be moving forward now. I think the reason that it's been such a slow recovery nationally is not a fault of the president. I don't think it's a fault of the Congress. They're not helping right now, kind of like in Wisconsin. They're not the cause, but they're not helping the situation. The financial meltdown that we went through was, I think historians are going to look back on that and say, we came really close to going over the edge of the cliff. The most recent news with J.P. Morgan on a $2 billion loss on some derivative trading is raising the question, did they learn anything?
Can we, with less than a minute before a news break, Governor Walker will say, hey, Governor Doyle had a much worse situation than I do. I mean, that was because of the financial meltdown?
That's because of the financial meltdown. I will give the governor credit for one thing. The state budget has been a mess for 10 to 15 years, depending on what set of numbers you look at. The governor did step in and say, enough is enough. We have to fix the state budget. They fixed it, but the way in which they went about fixing it, this austerity policy, has come with some economic pain.
Yep, and we'll talk more about that economic pain with Steve Deller, who is an economist with UW Extension, and we'll welcome more of your calls and questions after we check the latest news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking with a UW economist about job losses in Wisconsin and in Milwaukee and the political blame game that surrounds them in the recall race for governor, and we're welcoming your questions and your views on what's causing poor job numbers and what it's going to take to turn things around at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7:36 on this Tuesday, May the 15th. We are talking with Steve Deller, economist with UW Extension and professor of agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison. And before we go to the phones, what is it going to take to turn things around, Professor Deller?
I think that there's a number of things that the state can do to kind of turn us around. One is essentially, again, to kind of tone down the political rhetoric and kind of start to work together. One of the things that Wisconsin had always been kind of proud of was the poisonous or the political situation in the state or the politics in the state was not poisonous. People could agree to disagree and then try to figure out where there was common ground and move forward. I think we need to return to that. There are other things that the state can do. Many of them are really aimed at helping smaller businesses, people that want to get into businesses, existing businesses that are perhaps struggling. There's a tremendous amount of research that suggests that a lot of the job growth is really coming from small businesses, 5 to 10 employees. Part of the problem with that, though, is that there isn't much political payoff to helping a section or a group of small businesses go from, say, 5 employees to 10 employees. That doesn't gather headlines. But I think that that's where the state could really put some resources and could really help the state become much more stable and in a better position to grow.
Let's go back to the phones and take Rick in Milwaukee next. Hello, Rick.
Oh, good morning. I'd like to make 3 points as briefly as possible. Number one, since I was a child, I was told that there was a lag in the business cycle in the state of Wisconsin, that because of the structure of Wisconsin economy with it, we tended to be the last in the country to start losing jobs, and then because of that lag time, we would also be the last to start gaining those jobs back again. You know, it's just a normal part of the business cycle.
Well, let's get it. Is that accurate, Professor Diller?
That may have been true, decades ago when we were really heavily manufacturing. I think that the state's economy has changed enough that we're not necessarily a lagging state in that regard. I can see where some of our major industries might be lagging. Some of our manufacturing, perhaps tourism, might be lagging in terms of, you know, people aren't going to be willing to spend money on those types of things until they feel a little bit more comfortable. I don't see that. And the reason that I'm hesitating on this is, again, if you look at the recession of the early 1990s, we didn't feel that at all. We went right through that without a hiccup.
Well, Wisconsin lost the 22,000 jobs, or a little bit more than that. You predicted a job loss of 22,000 jobs with the, as you put it, the austerity measures in Governor Walker's budget that took effect in July. And you were correct, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. That is because of the money that public employees were now contributing to their benefits that they weren't spending in the economy?
That's part of it. That is the most obvious, is as a public employee, you know now that you're paying more to your benefits, and that is money out of pocket. And we still have our mortgages to pay. We still have our car payments to pay. And essentially, where we make up for that is less discretionary spending. You know, we don't go out to eat as much. Maybe we don't, go buy a new pair of shoes. We delay those types of things. I know a number of friends that were thinking about having, you know, their kitchen remodeled, and they decided not to do it. So that's part of it. But there's also significant cuts to public education, almost $900 million of cuts to public education. You can't remove that amount of money from the economy without being some economic pain attached to it.
Yeah. So, well, we have other callers. Let me give other callers a chance. And I'm sorry, Rick, you had another point?
Well, yeah, to the extent that there's depressive effects on the Milwaukee economy, I think that's primarily due to the failure of the Milwaukee public school system that has something like 45% of the children never being graduated from high school with any kinds of job skills.
Yeah, so does that play into this?
Yeah, it does. I do a lot of work with smaller communities around Wisconsin trying to help with economic development. And unfortunately, there's many communities that are not ready to undertake economic development. They need to worry about what we call community development. That is, building up leadership. That's building up a volunteer base. That's building up local institutions like chambers of commerce or parent-teacher organizations to kind of rally the local resources. Those types of things need to be in place before you can tackle economic development. And you could make a legitimate argument that in some neighborhoods in Milwaukee, those things are lacking. They're not ready for economic development. There's a range of other issues that need to be addressed.
So is Mayor Barrett to blame for the dropout rate from Milwaukee Public Schools?
No, I don't think. If Barrett were to blame, I think Walker would be to blame just as much. And I don't think you can really blame the politicians for that.
Bernie in Elkhorn is with us. Hello, Bernie.
Hi, good morning. I think you definitely cannot blame Mayor Barrett for Milwaukee's problems, and the guest has just very lucidly talked about negatives to Scott Walker. But for the most part, I think the problem is coming at the national level. I think there are two main problems. One is that there has been an erosion of jobs due to the free trade agreements, NAFTA, the WTO. Unfortunately, 95% of the Republicans and Democrats like Barack Obama are in favor of this. They're working together to ship jobs out. There was a lot of manufacturing in Milwaukee at one time that left for Mexico and China. And secondly, there's such a huge amount of money in our taxes at the federal level that goes into militarism and empire that there's not enough left, even if the politicians had the political will to try to have a jobs program to put people to work into meaningful endeavors. So I think between those two things, governors are really kind of moving the chairs around on the Titanic.
In terms of the fair trade, we usually look at that in terms of a negative. I think we need to look at it in terms of a positive. Look at the amount of exports that are that Wisconsin manufacturers in Wisconsin. I mean, dairy, the biggest growing sector of the dairy economy in Wisconsin is exports. So it's kind of a two-way street. Now, in terms of a lot of manufacturing jobs going overseas, that's true. There's different types of manufacturing, and manufacturers that are looking at driving their costs down to the lowest possible level because they want to be able to sell as cheaply as they can through a Walmart or whatnot, we can't compete. Those jobs are going to go to Mexico. They're leaving Mexico, and they're going to China. That's true. But there's another type of manufacturing that is more kind of high-skilled, custom manufacturing, and there we have a very strong base. I forget what the second question was.
Well, that I guess that's I think you addressed both of them adequately. Let's go to Mark in Richland Center. Hello, Mark, you're on the air.
Good morning. Two things. You mentioned that the state of Wisconsin's budgetary problems are related to the national problems, and then you mentioned also that the loss of money circulating in the economy with the austerity measures actually had an adverse impact on the economy. I'd like to suggest that those observations are completely accurate with regard to the circulatory nature of money. It has to stay circulating, but the budgetary problems that the state of Wisconsin has are not the same as the state of North Dakota, because in North Dakota, the farmers started the State Bank of North Dakota, so the thing called interest that the process of banking would otherwise actually extract from the economy gets plowed directly back into the state budget. So the circulatory issue that you mentioned, which is the function of money, what it has to do is stay circulating, actually functions well in the state of North Dakota because the interest isn't actually being pulled out of the economy. You mentioned that we lost a certain pool of money that wasn't circulating simply because of the withdrawal of that money from the economy in the budget that Walker has, but the entire problem that we have is that we've got interest being drawn out through the privatized sector and not plowing it directly back into the economy the way they do in North Dakota.
I don't get it.
There's a bank that was created. It's kind of a public bank in North Dakota that their mission is to essentially reinvest in the state of North Dakota. It's kind of a CDFI, Community Development Investment Institution. South Shore Bank in Chicago is kind of the classic example. It's essentially a locally owned bank where their mission is not profits at all costs, but rather we are going to reinvest in the community. And we're going to try to make just enough profit so that we can grow. But you know, there's been a lot of interest in that particular situation and CDFIs and trying to network smaller community banks. That's one thing that Wisconsin does have is kind of a strong network of smaller community banks that are more interested in making local investments or investing in local people and local businesses. That's a good point.
We are talking with Steve Deller, economist with UW Extension, professor of agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison, taking a look at Wisconsin's jobs outlook and the employment picture in the state of Wisconsin as they are two of the top issues in the recall race for governor. And we are trying to focus in on what is to blame for Wisconsin's poor job situation. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Wisconsin leads the nation in job losses. We also have Governor Walker accusing Tom Barrett for being, being at the helm with Milwaukee losing lots of jobs, and saying Milwaukee is an anchor on the rest of the state. We wonder what you think about jobs and the recall election. Trying to relate it to the recall election. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be mostly sunny and warm with a few clouds and a chance of afternoon showers in eastern Wisconsin. Highs will be in the 70s and low 80s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 10 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, May 15th. Coming up after 8, it's On Your Money with certified financial planner Kevin McKinley. Back now to your calls for Steve Deller, who is an economist with UW Extension, talking about jobs in Wisconsin and the recall race for governor. Larry in Madison is with us. Hello, Larry.
Well, thank you. Walker's policies are to blame for lost jobs in Wisconsin. I agree with the guest on this. For example, he cut the earned income tax credit, and in doing that, he reduced the spending power of lower-income Wisconsinites. He also gutted state programs that could have helped companies reduce their energy costs, referring here specifically to the Office of Energy Independence, which he eliminated. This could have helped companies in Wisconsin reduce their energy costs and increase their competitiveness. Lastly, as the guest indicates, the reduction in paychecks to public employees has been a tremendous drain on the economy in terms of demand for goods and services. The Institute for Wisconsin's Future found a few months back that this had cost private sector jobs, 6,900 private sector jobs was the estimate. And there are other policies that I think are directly traceable to this administration that have led to this situation where Wisconsin has been the state of all the 50 states to lose the most jobs in the last March to March measuring period.
Thanks, Larry. Is Larry on to something, Steve Jobs?
I think with the back to the discussion about business climate and what creates a business climate, I think that the governor and the leadership in the Assembly and the Senate have a kind of an old-fashioned view of business climate. They think that a good business climate is low taxes, low regulations, cheap labor, cheap land. That's what drives positive business climate. That was true maybe 50, 60 years ago, maybe even 40 years ago. But today, it's really a positive business climate is where government is there to help businesses along the what economists call along the margin. This might be helping reduce energy costs. This might be helping to reduce pollution flows. Little things like that. The problem is that those little programs don't generate a whole lot of headlines.
Thank you, Larry. Now we go to Jerry in Genesee Depot. Hello, Jerry.
Good morning. There was a question raised about the fact that we are not getting the money that normally we would get from the teachers or the public servants because they're paying for a lot of their benefits. By the same token, I'm not paying for that benefit now, so I have more money to spend to do something else in this state to keep it going.
Yeah.
But generally, the business climate in this state, from a standpoint of where I am, is not real good. It seems like they are not encouraging business. And that statement from the richest lady in Wisconsin about the fact that if she weren't living here, she would not start a business in Wisconsin, tells me a lot, because I know a lot about ABC Supply. And that's a detrimental effect in getting people to come here and starting businesses.
Well, Jerry, thanks very much for the call. So, Jerry, you're saying your taxes went down because of the governor's reforms and Act 10?
Yes.
Yeah. Did they go down, Professor Deller?
There really wasn't actually a cut in personal taxes. There was some tax incentives put in place for businesses, and some businesses may have seen a little bit of an increase in their nets because of some minor changes in business taxes. But that's a legitimate question. I mean, the governor, did say enough is enough. We used the tobacco settlement money. We used stimulus money to fill the, we raided the Department of DOT's fund to balance the budget. The governor decided to use austerity measures. I mean, he could have come in and said, well, no, we're going to raise taxes. Well, now that would have come with economic pain. The problem is that we don't know how much because there were no proposals on the table to essentially evaluate. So if we increased, say we increased sales tax, how much of that would have come with the economic pain? You know, we could figure that out. The problem, though, is that there was nothing on the table.
I'm sorry. Jerry left. But as a taxpayer who's not a public employee, Jerry seems to think that he had more money to spend, making up for the money that public employees were not spending.
I'm not sure where that would have come from, changes in tax code.
Yeah. he brought up the owner of ABC Company.
Oh, yeah, Hendrick.
Yeah, and she was... she was in that video that just was released from the documentary maker asking Governor Walker if Wisconsin could ever be a right-to-work state, because that's what apparently she wanted. And that's when the governor famously said divide and conquer was a strategy in starting with public employee unions. However, I think he was trying to say the point that she would not open another business in Wisconsin because of business taxes.
Well, see, now that's interesting, because Ken Hendricks, the founder of ABC, was actually fairly pro-business. He was considered to be a very good to his employees. It's not a union shop. But, you don't need to be a union shop to have good labor relationships. So it was kind of surprising to hear her make that comment, given kind of her former husband, her deceased husband's, kind of his philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's two things that came out of that conversation, the whole 30-second conversation. One was the right to work. Is kind of let's bust up the unions. That's kind of that old way of thinking about business climate, is that unions raises labor costs, which is bad for business climate. I think that's an old way of thinking about it. The second thing is kind of the political poison of the divide and conquer. So there's really two separate things going on there, both of which are having an impact on kind of the business climate of the state.
Well, we have less than a minute to go. Are you going to forecast Wisconsin's economy for a year from now?
I'll beg to pass on that one. And the reason is because of the uncertainty over what's going to happen with the recall, and particularly how people are going to react to the results. I think that what's probably going to happen is that the Republicans will remain control of the assembly, the Senate will go to the Democrats, and we're going to have stalemate for the next 3 years.
Interesting.
And that's where, if the governor wins the recall, is he going to say, okay, I need to work across the aisle, I need to compromise, I need to kind of follow the Tommy Thompson model?
And you say that would be better.
I think that would be much better.
Well, will you come back after the recall?
I'd be pleased to.
All right. Thanks very much. Steve Deller, economist with UW Extension, professor of agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison. Thanks to Rob Ferret, to Cynthia Schuster, and to Amanda Magnus for producing the show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.